Okay, I'm going to try talking a little bit about the fears of the classical crossover student, the player. Classical crossover, what is that? Well, is that? Maybe it's you. A classical crossover person would be the person who was trained classically on the violin, knows how to read well, has decent technique, and is completely clueless and terrified to do anything that's not written out for them already. Is that you? Do you know someone that's like that? It's okay to play music from the page, of course. It's not my thing, although I was trained that way and can do it just fine. I read very well. I realized reading from the page meant so much less to me than creating in the moment. I was very blessed to have experiences in my life that pushed me in that direction, being very much rebellious, which I got from my father, who was a rebel. And I didn't want to play anything that someone else was telling me to play, to a fault maybe, but so be it. That's where it was my path. As many of you know, I also played the guitar and studied well with jazz guitar teachers. Learned all the theory in my early teens, chord substitutions and improvisation and all this kind of stuff. In my later teens, took up the bass guitar, trying to follow in the footsteps of Jaco Pastorius, playing thousands of gigs. Got pretty good chops, being a session jingle player, commercial player. But eventually settled into the violin, which I had played all along and had done all the solo fests and had been in, you know, regional orchestras and the city-wide orchestra, and had gone to college on a full scholarship for classical violin performance. But at the same time, many of you know, I 2 weeks into getting into college, I got in a hot jazz fusion band in our hometown of Buffalo, New York. I was playing 6 nights a week, recording, having the tunes being played on local radio. We were opening up for famous jazz fusion bands, and it was a huge shot in the arm to me. I was primarily a bass player then. I didn't know what to do with the violin, and eventually learned how to apply the violin to that world, following in the footsteps of Jean-Luc Ponty. So, I have much experience, probably 6,000 gigs. I've played all the way up to, you know, in front of 40,000 people at the Newport Jazz Festival. By the time I was 30. So I was immersed in this weird world that most classical violinists don't get to be immersed in, and are horrified of the thought. Talking themselves into they just don't have this natural gift that somebody like me has. I say BS. Everybody has this gift. It's true that some people do seem to come about a natural ear easier than others. We don't know the exact reasons for that, whether it's genetics or environments or even reincarnation. We don't know. But I've also seen students who have a natural gifted ear who can hear a song on the radio and pick up their instrument and play it right away. Also take that completely for granted and not go very far. And students who it does not come as naturally easy to them at first work hard and go much beyond the people who take their natural gift for granted. So it doesn't matter. Wherever you start is wherever you start. Whatever your experience is what it is. So don't fret if you're a classical crossover that's desiring to be in the hip jamming, fiddle jam world. It's okay. You can do it too. I'm here to encourage you and tell you I was once one of you as well. It's true, I took a left turn a long time ago. I just got a head start on you. That's all. I can show you. And because I've taught so much along the way, as well as played along the way, I've learned and honed methods for you to be able to jump into this world wholeheartedly with joy and not too much fear. Yes, it's probably a little scary after many years of doing what someone else tells you to. to not abandon that, but, you know, go away from that. But you already probably have a lot of the theory that's needed. You just need the encouragement and the opportunity. So there's a number of different places that a classical crossover person can work at. One is, of course, the pure creative part of it. Learn to jam using an easy zone with the fiddle jam method. You can start with the major scale. I'm sure you know major scales, at least a few of them, depending how far you went classically in your training. Look at some of the tracks on the site that use the major scale. I've worked it out. I know the theory too, and made sure the chord accompaniments to that song were not only rhythmically interesting and stylistically hip, but also the backup chords were made nothing but, as you may know, diatonically from the key that we're jamming with. So it was to use the D major scale. All the chords in the background are made with the notes from the D major scale. So any note you play in the scale, you can't be too far off. If you don't know or don't like a note you're playing, you're never going to be more than one or maybe at the most two notes away from a note that will sound better to you, will feel better to you. And feeling the music is the key that most classical people have not focused on. It's rare to find a person that's classically trained that really feels the spirit of the original composition. Usually those people are, like I said, rare and move up the ranks as soloists and stuff, because they really learn some of the tricks. The tricks that I've learned mostly from learning to improvise. Because one of the attributes that you get from improvisation is that you need to learn to listen and trust internally. It's not just, let's see, how could I say this? Improvisation is not just noodling around. It can be, but that doesn't seem to have much value in the listener's ears or hearts, I find. Improvisers just noodle around. You're not doing anything for yourself or anyone else. So where is their purpose? Where does this purpose come from? The purpose of improvisation, good improvisation, which is a hard thing to quantify because, of course, if you're making things up, anything you do is your creation. But in my experience, people are less affected and don't seem to care if you're just noodling. So the idea is to learn to listen internally a split second ahead of time or a few seconds. Just try and hear ahead what you'd like to play and play that. It's simple as that. You've heard me say this on other lessons. That is probably one of the hardest things for the classical crossover person to develop. Although knowing that's the goal makes it much easier to get the goal, doesn't it? You can wander aimlessly in the woods, you don't know where you're going and don't know where you want to go, you won't get very far, probably in circles. And the same thing here. Through my experience, I learned that the real deal, any great, applauded, famous soloist will tell you the same thing. The real deal is just listen internally and completely trust that. No matter how simple it might be, no matter how dumb it might feel at first, no matter how silly or corny it might even feel. In fact, those are words that helped me get into that state of mind. When I started playing, trying to improvise more corny at one point in my development, I realized that to play corny, I was playing more on purpose. I was placing things rhythmically because my corny examples had good rhythm. So rhythm is the magic to music, for sure. You can play all the wrong notes at the right times with authority, and people will still get it. If you're playing a song, even Mary Had Little Lamb. You've heard me give this example at other places on the site. If you play all the right notes to Mary Had Little Lamb with no regard to timing, people can't even tell it's Mary Had Little Lamb. If you play all the wrong notes, terrible notes, not even in a key, to the rhythm of Mary Had Little Lamb, people can still kind of go, that's Mary Had Little Lamb, isn't it? Try it as a test, and you'll be convinced that rhythm is the most important thing in improvisation, probably in music, probably in life, for all I know. So, play something rhythmically, even if it's just one note, the tonic note of the key at first, and move up or down one note as you feel it would be sound better. No need to know the chords that are backing up, no need to know any theory, just take your scale, start on the tonic and go from there. And don't even go very far at first. Play something rhythmic and you're opening that door. I probably should address that the classical violinist probably has a mindset thinking that what they have to play at all times has to be great, fantastic, incredible, astounding, and any other attributes which are probably, on some level, very ego-oriented. I encourage you to try and drop those things and just have fun. Most popular styles outside of classical do have that factor, the fun factor. Pop music, blues music, even though it's kind of dark, is still fun and joyful. Joyful in a cathartic way. We all feel something negative together and it releases it. I mean, that's the blues thing. Even jazz, the best of jazz, is quite happy and bubbly and buoyant. Jazz is a little more involved, for sure. But folk music, play something simple and beautiful. So it doesn't have to be fantastic to be yours. Learn to trust your inner voice, that it's always the best thing possible to play. Because we don't know where those inner ideas are coming from. They do come if you listen. And learn to trust that. It took me many years to... I recognized it in my mid-teens, that if I played my classical pieces, if I had just kind of heard them ahead of time, they seemed to go better. I had that seed planted. Where I got that personally, I don't know. I'm going to say it's an angel sent me a gift. But it took me another 10 to 15 years to really own that. You don't need to take that long. I had too many experiences and disappointments. I realized I had blown a perfect thing. I had already heard in my head, and I didn't follow it. And then the drummer would do the same exact riff I had already heard in my head, and I realized that stuff is the magic. I've told many stories about that. And at one point, I just had blew it enough to vow to myself that I would always trust my inner voice, because it had proven to me that it's always the best way to go. And again, this is probably in life, too, not just in music. I'm not a complete guru, but music is always the pointer for life, I find. And I need to teach this now because I need to learn it for the rest of life, too. If I remind more people of what the real deal is in music, then I must be on the way to understanding it for the rest of my life, too. Anyways, that's a side story. I'm here to try and help classical crossover people learn to trust their own inner voice, because we don't know where those things come from exactly. There's many theories. It could be the cosmic consciousness of all ideas ever thought you tap into. It could be all ideas you've ever heard you tapped into. It could be just the ones you've played yourself, although I doubt that. It could be aliens sending you ideas telepathically. It could be angels. I kind of like that one. Or all the above. Or was pointed out to me as a possibility recently. Maybe it's the audience that's actually sending us musicians psychically and collectively possible ideas for us to play. And probably all the above. It's a collective experience when we play music, especially when we're tapping into creating music. So that's one of the biggest areas of that classical crossover people need to do and need to work on. Now, that may be too large of a leap at first for some of you who are really ingrained in that classical from the page thing. You're not ready to try anything. I've met people like that. So what I do for those people is I try to teach them vocabulary, hip licks and tricks. Give them some stuff to work with. Teach them a riff, or a lick as they're called sometimes, and then get them to play that over the cool background and maybe start being creative with it a little bit and move it around rhythmically and reinterpret it, turn it inside out, one little riff. That could be a way to go. I have a whole book of fiddle jam etudes, which are nothing but riffs and tricks that are very fiddleistic, very violinistic. A classical, clarinetist probably wouldn't get the same benefit because it's very fiddle-oriented, things that lay easy and commonly on the violin fingerboard. I have many of these things on the site as individual lessons. I will probably be putting this into a PDF download book soon. I have to get off my butt and do that. Make time and bump that up the list. But that's one way to go. You can transcribe also other people's solos. You could transcribe my solos and read them. Not just read them, though. That wouldn't be helping you as much as maybe writing them out yourself and listening by ear, transcribing by ear off records that you like of any instrument. It could be a saxophone player that you like. transcribe the soul. Have a fast finger on the pause button and figure out one note at a time, one or two notes, and write it out. And then learn it. You would ingrain certain stylistic elements that would become eventually your own vocabulary that your inner voice would hear and pull from. That's a way to go. There's other things too, just getting used to certain styles and the isms and schisms of those styles, and or maybe certain situations to be ready for. If you're going to play and sit in a coffee house, what is the lingo you need to know? What is the situation going to be with the gear? What kind of pickup do you need? Do you need a pickup, or is it just the microphone you need? If you're going to sit with a blues band, what do you do? What kind of knowledge do you have to know? Is there a secret handshake, secret, you know, lingo? They call out something and you don't know what it is? I'm planning on teaching all that to classical crossovers. Knowing the chord number system, the 1-4 and 5, is very important for the blues. Rock and roll, what do you need to know? What kind of gear do you need? What kind of effects do you need? What kind of amp do you need? Well, those things are in the state of development in the violin world, especially now that the alternative string world is becoming more and more popular with people like Lindsey Stirling and the guy from the Dave Matthews Band. There's many more violinists that are in the limelight now that are really getting quite popular. Some of these performers who have come through American Idol and such shows. It's pretty neat, and it's a good time to be alive, good time to be a fiddler, because there's lots more opportunity. It's not just play in a symphony or die, or as a secondary fallback plan if you're only classically trained, you know, play a wedding on the weekends once in a while, or in church maybe, or maybe in a community orchestra if your community has one, which most even don't. So once you know how to jam a little bit and know a few ins and outs of the styles, you can play, like I said, in a blues band, you can show up at any picking party and know a few bluegrass tunes, and also know the ins and outs of, if you don't know the song, how to play some creative backups to play along with others. That's important too. Simple backups, how do you create them on the spot? How do you hear the chord changes? Most classically trained people will actually probably have pretty decent ears, they just don't know how to focus them. And I'll be teaching that. And I'll tell you right now, the trick is always to follow the bass. Bass players are experts at leading people by the ear, or by the butt, I like to say, from chord to chord. So by following the bass player, they'll be nailing the tonic of the chord they're on, and they'll be supporting important notes within the chord, and basically their job is to do that and then lead you to the next chord. So if you learn to listen to the bass, maybe even play a little bass, or play some bass lines on your fiddle, you'll kind of tune your brain to what bass players do and be able to follow the chords much easier. So those are all tips and tricks that a classical crossover person can do. I'm thinking about actually producing a whole serious course to address this, to address these points, vocabulary, creativity, gear, etiquette and lingo, and of course applying your music. You're going down a bumpy road here. Applying your music knowledge, your music theory, to what I call music mechanics, just how it works, and the philosophy of why you want to do this stuff. Why do you want to play outside the classical realm? One for opportunity, one for fun and joy. The classical world is pretty demanding, and physically demanding, technically demanding. That's okay, but it's not as fun, it's not as creative, that's for sure, for me, and especially long term, as we age. You have to play in a symphony, that's it. You have to hold the violin a certain way. It can be very relaxing, very enjoyable. You can share the gift that you've worked so hard at for so many years with others, and a lot more opportunity to do it local level, on a club level, on a restaurant level, on a concert stage level, small concert halls, big concert halls, arenas. All these opportunities are there for you. I know that the Avid Brothers, one of the most popular bands on the planet, has a violinist. In fact, she's married to one of my old students. And so there's more and more violin out there. And the violin is an amazingly expressive instrument, as many of you already know. Maybe you've underappreciated how expressive it is, really, even compared to other instruments, and why it's adored. Of course, in the country music, you can't have a band without a fiddle these days, in the country music realm. So there's lots of opportunity. So I hope those give you some ideas, and watch for a course that I may produce and soon enough, and some materials. And we'll see you on the site.